Bibles to the book of Joshua, and chapter 1. And just for a little bit of context for you, for the message this evening, and just a few weeks back, we received a notice that Pastor Ian Weston had passed away, and I was at work at the time when I received the notification. And it was a bit of a shock. And just a couple of days after that, as I was still thinking on those things, and I'd been listening through, even in the weeks prior to that, I'd been listening through a lot of Pastor Ian Weston's messages on sermon audio. And then a few days later, I came across this passage, and it got me really thinking about the content here and how that might apply to us. And so this is what I feel the Lord would have us to look at, this passage before us this evening. So let's go ahead and read Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Beginning in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." We're not going to do a detailed exposition of the passage before us this evening, but there are some thoughts that I'd like to focus in on for this evening that we can draw out of this passage. And the title for the message this evening is "Go Forward for God." Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word this evening, Father, and for the lessons that we will learn out of your word this evening, Father. We pray again that your spirit would have free course here to move in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we pray that as your people, you would be able to, by your spirit, stir us up to go forward for you, to continue in the land of fruit and fight for you, Father, to continue in the spiritual warfare that you have for us and in the battle that is before us. And we pray that you would help us in this area, that we might be faithful to you and faithful to go forward with you. And for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the book of Joshua opens very simply with a statement, "Now after the death of Moses." If you were coming into this book without having read anything prior, it's pretty abrupt. "Now after the death of Moses," straight away. Moses had died. Moses had been the spiritual leader of the nation of Israel up until this point, and the nation of Israel needed further direction. They needed to keep going forward. They could not remain in the position that they were in. As I said, up until this point, Moses had been their leader, and now the nation would need a new leader. And God confirmed to Joshua that he would be the one to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so as we look at the passage before us, I guess the main thought I want you to consider is that there are times in our lives that we might call times of crisis. Times when, for example, as in this case, where a great spiritual leader has passed away. Or perhaps times when you have to, when you go through a very difficult situation, or where perhaps you are at risk of losing some close friends to you if you take a stand on the Word of God. And these are times where we, as individuals, have to make the choice between going all in for God or deviating from the path that God would have us to follow. These are times where we have to recommit ourselves to going forward for God. Otherwise, we will deviate from the path He has for us and ultimately end up in disaster. And so, the challenge is don't stop, but go forward for God. And interestingly, if we just quickly look at Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, right at the very end of the book of Joshua, you see the example of Joshua here. And we're all very familiar with this verse, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua, at this point, towards the end of his life, was again committing to go forward for God, to serve God. And he just gives, in that very short verse there, he gives three options there. He says, who will you serve? The gods of your fathers who are on the other side of the flood, so the gods behind you. What about the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwelt, the gods around you? No, but set the Lord your God before you and go forward. And that's the challenge. So back over to Joshua in chapter 1, as we consider this command to go forward in verses 1 to 4. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." So, Moses is dead. Now what? After the death of Moses, there would have been a good deal of uncertainty about the path ahead, about who was going to be the next spiritual leader for the children of Israel. Moses had been the one to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we've been studying this in the book of Genesis, how Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God has commanded, let my people go. Moses was the one who then led them up out of Egypt and led them to the Red Sea, where God did that miracle of allowing them to cross the Red Sea on dry land. Moses led them through the wilderness as God provided their food and water in the wilderness there. Moses led them all the way to the land of promise, and it was there that the people said, we are not able to enter. And then Moses was with the people. He wandered with them in the wilderness for another 40 years. And finally, Moses, this great spiritual leader, has passed off the scene. And here they are, right at the entrance to the promised land, and there's a decision to be made for them. Where will they go? Who will be their next spiritual leader? And God came to Joshua and said, you are the man to lead the people. Now, Moses had been preparing Joshua. It even says in the latter part of verse 1 there that Joshua was Moses' minister. And Joshua had been very close to Moses. There was even, I can't remember exactly where the passage was, but it talks about one time where Moses was speaking to the people, and it says that Joshua was in the tabernacle outside the camp praying. At this time, He remained in the tabernacle in the place of prayer. That's the sort of man that Joshua was. And here, God was able to come to this man who had been prepared for this leadership role and found this man, Joshua, a faithful man, a man he could use, and he was able to elect Joshua as the next spiritual leader of his people. And might I say, God is still looking today for men who will be spiritual leaders of his people. Men who are willing to undergo the necessary training. Men who are willing and determined to follow God as Joshua was. To say, even at the end of his life, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's looking for such men. Now, Joshua is the leader. Okay, now what? Well, then God commands Joshua to arise with all the people and to cross over Jordan. Now, I just want to take a moment just to consider the Jordan crossing and what it pictures in the life of the New Testament Christian. And I was listening to a message by Pastor Ian Weston a few weeks back in which he said, the Red Sea crossing pictures our salvation. Christ died for us. The Jordan River crossing pictures our sanctification. I died in Christ. And so it is the Jordan River crossing that pictures for us the believer who has learned to die to self and is ready to enter into the land of spiritual warfare as a Christian. So that's what we're talking about when we say go forward for God. We're talking about entering into the place of spiritual warfare for God. Going forward in the spiritual warfare that God has ahead for us. And there is indeed a spiritual battle going on and we must be part of it. You know, just a few weeks ago, Pastor Ian Weston passed away. He was the founding pastor of this church. And there are those of us who can remember 10 years back in the life of this church, maybe 15, 20 years back. Some who remember even further back, isn't that right? Some who can probably remember the bricks going on the building. Okay? There were great times in the past that we can look back to. There is a great heritage we have in the past that we can look back to and say, what a wonderful heritage we have, but it can't stop there for us. It cannot stop there. And, you know, can you hear, as it were, God saying to us as a church, Ian Weston, my servant, is dead. Now go forward. As he said to these people, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, arise, cross over Jordan. And that's still the mission for us. The job isn't done. The founding pastor of this church has passed off the scene. But that doesn't mean, work's over. We all sit back and wait for the rapture now. No. We're still here. We're the ones who remain. And we've been left a godly heritage. But what sort of heritage will we leave the next generation? What will it be? I'm very thankful for the heritage that we have here in this church, but it can't stop there. The land that we are to go forward into is a land of fight. It's a land of spiritual warfare, but it's also a land of fruitfulness. And if we're going to be a fruitful church, then we have to be prepared to leave the wilderness wandering and enter into the spiritual warfare, to enter into that land of fight and faith. Another thing I'd note here is this. Joshua did not cross over the Jordan River on his own or even with just a handful of mighty men. It says, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Everybody. The whole nation of Israel was to cross over Jordan and enter into the land of fight. And so it is for us as a local church. It's not the pastor's role to enter into the land of fight and try and drag the whole church through to victory. Yes, the pastor is, in this place, one of our spiritual leaders. He is. But we're all supposed to be growing and maturing to become spiritual leaders. We all have a role to play in the spiritual battle that is before us. It isn't just the pastor's job or the deacon's role or the ministry leaders who go forward for the people while everybody else stays behind and just, keep going, pastor, you've got it. We're here for you. If you want to come back and rest with us a little while. No, the whole church is supposed to be engaged in the spiritual battle. The whole church must fight the enemy in the place of prayer. The whole church must contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The whole church is supposed to be going forward for God in the place of spiritual warfare, that we might be fruitful for the glory of God. This church wasn't built by people who were content to let others be spiritual leaders while they sat back and watched from the sidelines. And it won't remain here if all we have in the church is people who want to sit back and watch from the sidelines. The church will not go forward for God if we do not get into the action for God. As individuals, we must be spiritual leaders. We must be committed to going forward for God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Each one of us who is born again is one of those lively stones. Not a dead stone, a lively stone. And a lively stone must be productive, a part in the spiritual house of God. And that means we're going to have to equip ourselves as spiritual leaders. Again, we can look back at the spiritual leaders of yesteryear and be thankful, we should be thankful for the heritage that we have here in this place. But what sort of heritage will we leave for the next generation? It will be a very poor one if we, as individuals, do not equip ourselves to be spiritual leaders and be committed to going forward for God. There's so many things that can distract us from that. As I said, there are times in our lives when we face, as it were, a crisis point. And we have to make a choice whether we will go all in for God or whether we will sit back and let the spiritual warfare pass us by. And sometimes going all in for God will cost us a lot. There are times when we will lose friends because we've taken a stand on the Word of God. This church has had, on numerous occasions, has had people that they've, churches that we've had to separate from, because they deviated from the path that God would have us to walk. There's a cost to going forward for God, but we have to do it. If we're going to be fruitful as a church, it means we're going to have to enter into the fight and be faithful in that fight and be spiritual leaders. Verses 3 to 4, he reinforces this command to go forward and gives the scope of the command. It says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." So you see the scope of the command there. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread. The entirety of the land that was promised to Abraham would be given to the children of Israel if they would but follow God and enter into that land of promise. And I guess the application for us is pretty simple. Israel would be given the land, the land from the wilderness, even from the entering into the land, all the way to the river Euphrates, which is the northernmost point of the land. That means from the very entering into the land, all the way to the extremities of the land, they would have victory. Now, the wilderness for the Christian pictures the place of spiritual defeat, a place of spiritual barrenness and fruitlessness. But when we as a church leave the wilderness behind us and enter into that place of spiritual fruit, that is when God's blessing is upon us. When we enter into the land of fight, we get into the warfare, the spiritual battle. Not just as individuals, but as a church, we have to be in the battle. That's when we are fruitful as a church. That's when we're going forward for God. But we have to leave the wilderness behind us and genuinely pursue God. Genuinely make that commitment to go forward for God. It means not trying to live the Christian life in your own strength or by your own efforts, but learning to let the Holy Spirit lead and allowing Christ to live through us. When we do that, there is no place of promised blessing that God will withhold from us. The children of Israel were promised the entirety of the land if they would but follow God. And there is no blessing that God will withhold from us that He has promised to us if we will but follow Him and go forward for Him. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." It's a promise of Scripture. And when we are going forward for God, He will bless us. He will not withhold anything from us that is good for us, that is profitable for us in the place of service for Him. We will have all that we need. Next, we see that there was a needed courage to go forward in verses 5 to 7 and verse 9 as well. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There is a certain amount of courage that is required for spiritual leaders, those who enter into this place of warfare. The land of Canaan was a land of fighting. Shortly after entering into Canaan, they crossed over the River Jordan and they had to enter into the battle at Jericho, where God wrought a great victory for them. And then following Jericho, they would go on to fight against Ai and so forth. And the land of Canaan was not a place of perpetual peace. It wasn't. In fact, there was constant fighting. And you know, there have been people in the past who have set out with good intentions of living for God, and as long as things continued peacefully, they were fine. As long as there was no battle to be fought, they were fine. But the Christian life isn't a life of perpetual peace. That's never commanded or promised to us in Scripture that once we're saved, we'll have a life of perpetual peace. And Pastor Ian Weston, I remember him saying in one of his messages about when he was first saved, for the first little while, you know, the first few days, he thought he was going to be Saint Ian. And then he realized very, very shortly that there's something within us called the sin nature. And that's the first area of warfare for us. The Christian life is not a life of perpetual peace. It's a life of spiritual warfare. And so many people have started out with all good intentions, and when they came to the place of fight, it was too hard. It was too much. And they gave up. No, the Christian life is one of constant fighting. There are dangers always present. Fightings without, fightings within. There's always spiritual warfare going on, whether it be in our own hearts, the spiritual battle going on with the flesh, or whether it be external pressures and spiritual warfare without. There's always spiritual warfare for us. There's no time in our Christian life where we can sit down and say, but it's all right, the battle's over for now. We can relax. There is never a time in your Christian life where you can sit back and relax. The battle is always going on. It's always there. And there are always dangers. There are dangers of doctrinal errors as well, seeking to creep into the church. We're always in the battle. There's no place for the sleepy Christian. But Canaan wasn't just a land of fight, it was a land of favour as well. It was a land of favour. Verse 7 there it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You know, we do not fight our battles alone. I jumped ahead a little bit there. I wanted to read verse 5 as well. Sorry. Let's read verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We are to be on the Lord's side in the battle. And when we are on the Lord's side in the battle, He will fight the battles for us. The word "fail" in verse 5 means to cease, to slacken, or to let alone. And God says, "I'll be with thee, I will not fail. I will not fail thee. I will not slacken my hand from blessing you, from being with you, from going forward with you." And we can be confident that God's power will never slacken. God's power is never exhausted. There is never a day when the sun rises that you might sit and think, "Has the power of God run out?" It never does. The power of God is always available to us for the spiritual battle. We are not alone in the battle. And the word "forsake" means to loosen or to let relinquish. God will never lose hold of us. He will never relinquish His control over our lives and over our circumstances. The battle is never out of control when God is in control. It never is. And sometimes it might seem like it is. Sometimes we may feel overwhelmed and begin to wonder, where is the power of God in this situation? But God is never out of control. God's power never fails. But if you're going to enter into that and know what it is to see the power of God working on your behalf, that means you're going to have to enter into the battle. You can't sit back and say, I believe God is powerful. Now, hopefully He acts. And when I see Him moving, I'll get into the battle. No, God wants us to go forward into the battle, and then we'll see Him move on our behalf. Then we see the power of God. But we must go forward if we're to see God move in power. In verse 6, we see there was also courage to take enemy territory. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." You know, this land had already been promised to Israel, but they had to actually enter into it before it became theirs. It's a very simple thing. You don't take possession of something, of a piece of land, until you enter into it. That's very simple. They had to enter into the land before it became theirs. And the Christian life is full of rich promises from God. But so many of these promises are missed because we refuse to enter into them by faith, to accept them by faith. And we have a head knowledge of what God is able to do for us, and we have a head knowledge of what God has promised us. We say, yes, I believe God will do this on our behalf, and I'm not moving until I see it happen. And we miss out on the blessing. We don't see the promises fulfilled because we do not claim them. For example, we often have mentally accepted the positional truths of Scripture, like our death to sin, but then we live as these things were not true, or as though they are only meant to be a future reality. It's very true. Oh yes, you know, I believe that in Christ I am dead to sin. Well, how are you living though? Are you living as though that is a reality now in the present, or as though that's something that we only have to look forward to in the future? There are blessings that we miss because we simply do not act in faith upon the promises of the Word of God. We don't take the steps forward, and so we miss out on the blessing. And the church here, again, was built by someone who heard the call of God and responded to it. And Pastor Ian Weston knew that God had made certain promises to those who would go forth weeping and bearing precious seed, and he went forward and preached the Word of God and souls were saved. We can do the same thing today. The promises of God's Word are still for us today. I don't know about you. Sometimes I look back and I hear about in the early days how there was, you know, it was a weekly basis there was someone saved, and I think, oh, but that was back in the day. Is the power of God slackened today? No. Well, we have to go forward for God if we're going to see God bless in that way for us today. He still can. There's still power there, and we as a church must be willing to go forward. There were those who knew that God was able to build a church here in the northern suburbs of Adelaide, but the result would have been very different if they only gave mental assent to those things and never took the step of faith to start the church here. I believe God's able to build us a church here in the northern suburbs. Now, if I wait here, hopefully someone will gift us the building. Probably not going to happen. Not that God can't gift you a building, but he wants to see you act in faith upon his word and go forward. And our going forward as a church is going to be dependent on whether or not we act in faith upon the word of God and begin to enter into what he has promised for us, or whether we say, yes, I believe God can use us to reach souls for Christ. Now I'm going to wait here and see if he does it. As a song that Pastor Ian Weston wrote says, we must go. Seeing God move starts with us going forward and waiting on him to act on our behalf. We will not see God move if we just wait here and do nothing and never seek to move forward for God. They had to have a courage to go forward, to claim those promises, to enter into the land that God had promised them. And we have to do the same. And they also had to have a courage to stand for the word of God in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And standing for the word of God is of immense importance. Even independent Baptist churches today are changing their statement of faith. It's happening right across, not just across our country, but around the world. There are churches that are changing their statement of faith that used to hold a good sound doctrine, and now they've gone a little bit wishy-washy. And Scott's statement of faith sounds all right to read through it until you start asking what's been taken out. What's missing now? And that's when you see where the church is really heading and where they're really at. If you go to our website, the NBC website, under the sermon audio search bar, you can search "What Independent Baptists Believe" in that search bar. You'll find there a message that was preached by Pastor Ian Weston that was dated 1st of December 1985. I've listened through it a number of times. It's like an immunization shot against false doctrine. It's fantastic. Seriously, I have listened through it a few times now, and every time I'm encouraged. And it will stir you up to fight for the faith. It's an excellent message. But I tell you what, having listened through it multiple times and been blessed by it, what is truly encouraging about that message is that by the grace of God, Pastor Ian Weston held firmly to those statements of faith his entire ministry and never deviated from them. I encourage you to go and listen through that message. Look it up. It's "What Independent Baptists Believe," and listen through it. And by the grace of God, this church still believes those same tenets of the faith that he preached all the way back in 1985. And if the Lord tarries, I trust in another 50 years, another 60 years, we will still hold to that same statement of faith. And it's a huge encouragement to me as we look around and we see there are a lot of churches that are slipping. There are a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors who no longer believe what they used to believe, who no longer stand where they used to stand, or at least are no longer willing to take a stand on the things they say they believe. It's a great encouragement to me to see a man like Pastor Ian Weston who reached the end of his life and still held firmly and was willing to contend for those things that he preached all the way back in 1985, I believe, from this very church. I'll tell you what, it would be a great blessing to us as a church if God would take each one of the men here and make them such men as Pastor Ian Weston was. I think we'd have a very strong church here. A church that was ready to enter into spiritual warfare if we would each equip ourselves as he did to be spiritual leaders in this place. What a powerful church this would be. And he would tell you, if he was standing here now, it was not his own strength that made him the man he was. It was because he learned what it was to die to self and let Christ live through him. To truly not just have a head knowledge of the positional truths of the book of Romans, but to live them out. To not just have a head knowledge of the book of Hebrews, entering into the holiest of all, but to truly live that out in the place of prayer. And my, we need men like that today. We really do. And lastly, we see the charter to go forward in verses 8 through 9. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The Word of God is going to be the basis for our success in this work. And the children of Israel would be prosperous and have success in the work if they would believe and follow the Word of God. And it's the same for us today. We must not just believe the Word of God, but follow it. When we have entered into the spiritual battle, what is it that's going to keep us from being deceived by false doctrine? What is it that's going to keep us from being caught up in the denominational church politics that is so prevalent today? Well, it is the Word of God. And when the Word of God is meditated upon and when the Word of God governs our lives, when we have built our lives and our faith upon the sure foundation of the Bible, then we will be able to withstand all these attacks. You're not going to be very effective in spiritual warfare, in the spiritual battle, if you don't know much about this book. You're not going to be going far for God. You're probably not going to be going forward for God at all if you're not willing to get to grips with this book. It starts there. They were to meditate therein day and night and observe to do according to all that was written therein. That's our charter of faith. When we are commanded to go forward by God, that means we have to get to grips with this book, with what the Word of God says about how we should conduct ourselves in the local church, with what the Word of God says about how we should proclaim the gospel, with what the Word of God says is the core message of the gospel. We have to get to grips with those things, and then we take those and go forward for God. It's the Word of God that is the basis for our going forward. If we neglect the Word of God, then we will not have direction. We will not know where we're supposed to go. We don't know our end destination, really, where God wants to take us as individuals. Or even as a church, we can see the general direction that God is moving us, but we don't know ultimately what God has in store for us in the future. We can't see the future. So we have to take the road signs, as it were, of the Scriptures and follow them. The things that are clear in Scripture, those are the things that must guide us. But we won't be going forward for God if we don't know where He's leading. And we only know where He's leading when we follow His Word and we stick close to Him. And then there's a promised blessing at the end of verse 8 there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The children of Israel could not conquer the promised land if God did not go with them. The power to overcome their enemies and possess the land of promise would only come from God. And when Israel stopped going forward with God, God stopped going forward for Israel. And they were unable to defeat their enemies. And we see that when the nation of Israel had conquered Jericho, and Achan took what was commanded to be destroyed and he hid it in his tent. And then Israel came against Ai, which really, having just conquered Jericho, in man's eyes, you would think, well, this should be an easy task to conquer Ai, this small town over here. And they were defeated because God had stopped going forward for them because of the sin of Achan. When Israel stopped going forward with God, God stopped going forward for Israel, and their enemies remained undefeated. They were unable to fully possess the land that God had for them. And we need the power of God upon this church, the power of God for soul winning, the power of God for the preaching, the power of God for every area of service in this local church. And our church will only be fruitful when God is working on our behalf. We have to go forward for God. We have to go forward with God. And when we do that, God has promised His presence will be with us. At the end of verse 9 there, Israel was given the promise that if they would do these things, they would observe to do all that was written in the Word of God for them, and they would not deviate from the word of God, then God would be with them wherever they went. And the presence of God is of utmost importance. Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 to 15 reads, "And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And I've preached on that passage before and how we need the presence of God with us. And Moses' heart was, Lord, if you will not go with us, don't carry us up hence. We will not go forward without God. If we're going to go forward for God, we must go forward with God, and in particular in the place of prayer, as we've heard before. Little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. So we have a great heritage, a godly heritage, that we can look back on and be thankful for. But today, as a church, the job's not done. We still have to go forward for God. We still have to be spiritual leaders in our day. For each and every one of us. Not just, oh, well, the church must be spiritual. Well, you're the individuals that make up the church. Not just the pastor, not just the deacons. We as individuals have to make a commitment for ourselves to go forward for God personally. And when we as individuals personally are committed to going forward for God, the church will go forward. And so, in conclusion, I'd ask you, are you entering into the spiritual battle, or are you sitting on the sidelines and watching the pastor and the other leaders in the church trying to drag the church into the land of fight and fruitfulness? The church will not be fruitful if it's only the pastor trying to drag everybody else into the fight. And what sort of a heritage will you leave for those who come behind you? What will they see? What will they look back on? We can look back on times where the church went through a lot of trials and came through those trials with the blessing of God upon the church here, and we can be thankful for those times. Don't think that those times won't ever come again. We have to be prepared for those times, for the times of fight, that we can come through those times to the times of fruitfulness and leave a godly heritage for those who would come after. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example before us in Scripture of godly Moses, who was a spiritual leader of your people. And Father, for the wonderful example that he left. And then for Joshua, who you commanded to go forward with all the people and enter into the blessings that you had for them. We do pray as a church here that you would help us indeed to go forward for you, to enter into the spiritual blessings that you have for us, and also to enter into the spiritual warfare that is ahead of us. And we pray that each one of us would be committed to you, to going forward for you, to being a spiritual leader in this place. And we pray for your help in these things, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.